Did you know the right lighting, sound, and interactivity executed at the right time in support of your meeting's messages can have a profound impact on attendee learning? New findings in neuroscience indicate proper meeting design can go a long way to improve message reception and retention. Learn more at psav.com/research.
In this month's cover story and CMP series, where you can earn credit hours towards your CMP certification or recertification, find out how at the end of this podcast. Associate Editor Corinne Hirsch looks at the changing role speakers play at meetings. In Voices Carry, she talks to planners, speaker bureau executives, and speakers themselves to find out how meeting organizers are finding, hiring, and working with speakers, and spotlights the results of a recent convened study on the topic. You spend most of the year looking for them, and a sizable chunk of your budget paying for them. You rely on them to generate buzz and lure attendees. You have access to more of them than ever before. Ex-presidents, former sports stars, authors, entrepreneurs, innovators, disruptors, and motivators. But are you finding the very best speakers for your events? And are you maximizing your investment in them? For our most recent ePanel survey, Convene asked planners how they find and hire speakers, how much they pay for them, and what their expectations are. We've divided the results into three keynote topics, buttressed by interviews with planners, speaker bureau executives, and speakers themselves, all discussing how they might work together more seamlessly. If you'll take your seat, our program is about to begin. Keynote 1. The Hunt. A stirring keynote speaker can inject your meeting with energy, help build its credibility, and leave attendees with powerful memories, and can even mean the difference between who registers and who stays home. When it comes to finding that magical keynote, planners in our survey rank thought-provoking, insightful, and inspirational as highly sought-after qualities. People always want something new and fresh, said Emily Hung, CMP and principal of Echo Events in Tacoma, Washington. How about new, fresh, and famous? 46% of planners say it's somewhat important to land a celebrity keynote speaker for their meeting. Attendees are flooded with conference opportunities, one survey respondent wrote. A celebrity speaker often helps lure them to ours, end quote. John Truran, Senior Vice President of Kepler Speakers, headquartered in Arlington, Virginia, fields such requests regularly and sometimes prompts planners for more specifics. Truran said, "We need a motivational speaker," is the classic line. What do you mean by that? Do you want a leadership speaker? Do you want a sports person considered to be motivational? There are so many layers and niches, and our job is to peel back the onion and find out what the planner and the organization really wants, what their goals really are, end quote. Brian Palmer, CMM president and owner of Chicago-based National Speakers Bureau, agrees. He said, "I want a wow factor" is one of my least favorite phrases. It can work against a meeting. Often for the people planning an event, their goal is that they want everyone to be happy and they want there to be a standing ovation. And that's their measure of success. When, in fact, the most effective speaker might leave people rather subdued and uncomfortable at the end, end quote. Whether planners are in the market for a big wow or thoughtful silence, they consider depth of subject knowledge and a connection to the audience's profession to be crucial, according to the survey. For our meeting that focuses on top-quality continuing education, the speakers represent the linchpin of the entire event, said Sylvia Ratchford, executive director of the Hinman Dental Society. For 20 years, Ratchford has planned the Thomas P. Hinman Dental Meeting, with roughly 22,000 attendees at the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta. She hires 60 to 70 speakers for the event. She said, "Their expertise, their presentations, the ease with which we can work with them, all combine for great impact on the event's success. For the clinical speakers, expertise and reputation are paramount. For the keynote session, we look for a combination of the two," end quote. For 70% of planners in our survey, keynoters are found through word of mouth. Palmer said, "I sometimes joke that our biggest competitor is Joe down the hall, who just came back from a conference." People, I think, take comfort in hearing about a speaker from somebody whose opinion they know and trust, end quote. For their part, Palmer, Truran, and other Speaker Bureau executives are always on the hunt. We spend a great deal of time going to see people live and watching video, Palmer said, so that we have discerned who's very good and who's excellent, end quote. Does it matter if those speakers represent a variety of backgrounds, ages, and races? Truran thinks so. He said, planners want something that is hard-hitting, someone that might be a little disruptive, might challenge conventional wisdom, is a darn good presenter, has humor, knows how to hold the audience, and is not a 60-year-old white man in a suit. People need, people want, to mirror their audience, end quote. Yet planners are close to evenly split on diversity. According to our survey, 47% choose their lineup based on age and gender diversity, meaning 53% don't. One survey respondent wrote, "It's very important for me that my presenters can represent and appeal to all attendees' ethnicities, so that everyone can relate to someone and feel welcome." Another respondent noted, "The attendees can't receive a diverse cadre of ideas from a homogeneous group of speakers. If there is no diversity, you are compromising their educational experience." Timothy Mathey, Denver-based senior partner of Speak, Inc., says his bureau is always on the lookout for speakers who break the mold. He said, "If a speaker is not a white male, especially if they're female, without a doubt, we're looking at those more and more," end quote. And then there are planners who don't expressly seek a diverse speaker lineup because, in their words, content is king. Presenters are picked for their knowledge, not their ethnicity or gender, according to one survey respondent. But while 50% of survey respondents hire the best speaker, regardless of gender, that doesn't include Alexandra Carvalho, CMP and senior event consultant for Kaiser Permanente Event Marketing in Oakland. "I firmly believe," she told Convene, "that whoever is delivering your content must represent the diversity of culture within your organization," end quote. By many accounts from the planners, bureaus, and speakers that Convene spoke with, there is still a dearth of available speaking talent from diverse backgrounds. "Keeping in mind that often I'm coming to conferences where there is a technology focus, I find that there typically are not any speakers that look like me. It's actually pretty rare," said Crystal Washington, an author and speaker on social media and technology trends, who notes that many African-American speakers tend to work in the motivational rather than the informational space. She added, "Oftentimes I am the diversity. It is not unusual for me to be the only woman and the only person of color in a speaker lineup. Sometimes I feel like I am the diversity person that hits all the buttons. I'm brown, I'm a woman, and I'm Gen Y. Boom." End quote. "I think that diversity has to be part of the mix," said Stacey Techner, CAE-FASAE, who is CEO of the National Speakers Association. Techner continued, "I think all planners are looking at it that way. But it can't be your primary driver, or else you give up the content side in terms of diversity. But if you only put all white guys up there, those that are male, pale, and stale, you don't get maybe the best. Many of the people in your audience want to be able to look at your program and see themselves somewhere, so that they don't feel like outsiders," end quote. Keynote 2, the money. Often a sizable wedge of a meeting's budget is set aside for speakers. And according to 61% of our survey respondents, that wedge has stayed the same over the last 2 years. According to the survey, 21% of planners have a speaker budget of under $5,000, while 28% draw on $50,000 or more. Meanwhile, organizations are spending more on celebrity speakers. The average range right now for a keynote is between $15,000 and $25,000, said Carvalho, who notes that, like many planners, she has seen her budget stay steady as speaker fees have increased. She added, "But I have paid up to $50,000. Definitely speaker fees have risen," end quote. That's true at a certain level, according to Palmer, who said, "The top of the market has really grown because events people are looking to make a bigger splash with their events and often use the appearance of somebody well-known at their event to help create that splash, get media attention, get a lot of eyes on their meeting. They seem to be willing to spend more money for somebody famous, and there are a lot more people of note who are speaking. It's interesting to see the disparity between some of the top speakers and some of the lower-paid speakers," end quote. How can your static budget accommodate climbing speaker fees? Try passing over celebrity speakers in favor of subject matter experts, who may charge less, Turin said. In general, the fees for business speakers have stayed the same. Where the fees have skyrocketed and have outpaced inflation are with the celebrities, end quote. Or you can bite the bullet and spring for a big name. Because at least according to the bureaus, speakers are the cornerstone of your program. The investment you make in a speaker is disproportionate to the investment in your meeting, Truren said in a recent interview with the podcast Through the Noise, pointing out that while a keynote might eat up, say, $20,000 of a $1 million meeting budget, the speaker can have an incredible impact on the overall meeting, the feeling of the meeting, the direction of the meeting, how attendees feel about the company, end quote. While the average highest amount paid for a keynote speaker is $32,269, according to our survey, one planner has paid $250,000, while the majority spend between $10,000 and $20,000. And that's okay with planners. 77% feel that when they've shelled out, it was worth the cost. Keynote 3, the connection. The pre-con process involves liaising with speakers, and there is an expectation that speakers should do their homework too. Carvalho said, knowledge of the audience is key, and audience engagement is paramount in keeping attendees interested in content and not focused on the wireless devices that can distract them, end quote. Palmer added, I think one of the keys for a speaker is to really discern what the organization wants to achieve with the meeting. Why are they putting on this meeting? The objective isn't to make people happy. Very often, the objective is to make changes in the organization, or move people forward, or create different thinking, end quote. Some speakers relish that opportunity. I really enjoy the process of someone picking me to speak, motivational speaker Laura Schwartz said in an interview. She added, I listen to their objectives and make sure that I can fill those for them. I'm available to them to ask questions and to come up with strategies together, end quote. Yet while planners may want more of speakers' time in general, according to our survey, when it comes to the main event, they often actually want less of it on stage. Call it the TED effect. Truren said, TED has been extremely valuable for the industry as a whole to make speaking cool. In a way, it really helped propel the spreading of ideas as a storyteller, end quote. But the TED effect has also made audiences more comfortable with shorter sessions, and even led them to expect that. Unmarketing evangelist, author, and speaker Scott Stratton occasionally is given less time on stage by planners than he'd prefer, which he said can work against a meeting's objectives. Yet Ratchford thinks shorter sessions are sometimes necessary for younger attendees. She said, we're marketing to dental students and young dental professionals who are recently out of school and not accustomed to sitting in a 3-hour lecture. We're building in more and shorter sessions. Granted, we have to be fair to the speaker and the subject matter to make sure it's a reasonable amount of time for learning, end quote. Whether you're making your sessions longer, shorter, or somewhere in between, if you use traditional exit surveys to determine their relative success, you might augment them by following your speaker's lead. Scan Twitter. If something is so good that attendees tell the world on Twitter, you know that it resonated, said Stratton, who uses the platform to gauge success as well as develop new material. If an idea trends on Twitter, he said, that's something I can focus on and say, okay, how much more can I drill down in this and make sure I say it again, end quote. And just because attendees are looking down at their cell phones during a session doesn't mean they're not engaged. Washington said, you might think someone is distracted and they're not. They're actually tweeting what you're talking about. I've learned you really can't judge what's happening in the audience. The people that look like they're mad at you will come up to you afterwards, give you a hug, and tell you it's the best thing they've ever heard, end quote. Speakers are also being asked to interact more after their sessions. 81% of planners in our survey schedule ancillary events, which speakers are usually happy to do. That post-session engagement can take myriad forms, from receptions to booth mingling, book signings, and Q&A. Hoag said, for most of my groups, the Q&A is really important for them, end quote. Truren added, the general feeling among more and more speakers is that if travel works out, you have me for the day, end quote. Yet planners might not always realize speakers are up for that. Mathy said, I think meeting planners underutilize speakers. Most of your professional speakers are happy to have a breakout right after the keynote, end quote. Schwartz certainly is, and she's surprised when planners don't ask her to come early or stay later, since she tries to learn as much as she can about a group before she takes the stage. She said, "Some planners aren't used to the speaker being so available for different parts of the event." In our sidebar to this story called The Speaker Speaks, Scott Stratton spoke about speaking duration. He said, "In the past few years, I've seen this trend towards the TED Talk style, where you're going to give less and less time, but we want the same impact. I think that's a problem. I spoke at one event where I got 25 minutes on stage, and I asked the head of the organization, why so little? He said, speakers have only 20 or 25 minutes of content, and the rest is fluff. I'm like, I don't know who you've been hiring to speak, but that's not the case. The next thing you know, you have a day of 15 or 20 speakers that have overwhelmed people with all these different messages, instead of 5 or 6 speakers that can lay a groundwork for something. I charge the same for a 15-minute talk that I do an hour. I'm telling you, the audiences who get the hour get a lot more out of the talk than the 15 or 20 minutes. I did a talk yesterday in New Hampshire, and I had an hour and 15. It was like a revelation for me. I had time to talk, and then I had time for questions. It was beautiful." End quote. In another sidebar, Crystal Washington had this to say about the need for engagement. "The buzzword I'm hearing is actionable, actionable, actionable. People want actionable takeaways. They are so inundated with information that planners are saying, look, don't give us this real long spiel or this beautiful picture. Give them things they can walk away and do now, right now." For a presentation last week, one of the things the audience wanted was improved search engine optimization using social media. I showed them exactly where to go on LinkedIn to plug in their keywords or words they want to be found for themselves online. That's something they could do immediately, go to their profile and add. People are also really open to creativity. I have found myself more and more comfortable creating mass chaos in presentations if it's going to drive home learning points. For instance, when I was speaking at the Florida Governor's Conference on Tourism, I had this room full of people, probably about 200 people, and I just freed them for 10 minutes. They were in the hallways taking selfies for a contest I was doing. So you had these people running around the convention center. Then they came back, and I show them on screen the pictures they submitted. Did you know you could earn 1 hour of CEU credit for listening to the podcast of this article? First, download the PDF, How Speakers Deliver Return on Attendance, a white paper from the National Speakers Association, written by Chris Clark Epstein, CSP, from the following website address, convn.org/speakingpaper. To earn CEU credit, visit pcma.org/convenecmp to answer questions about information contained in this CMP series podcast.